It's post-draft analysis time in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And in that spirit, we're talking with Trey Brown. He is a senior personnel executive with the Cincinnati Bengals, and he was a big factor in the evaluation and the grading and putting together the big board for draft day for the Cincinnati Bengals. And he goes through all 8 selections that the Cincinnati Bengals made. 2 cornerbacks, 1 edge rusher, a safety, 2 wide receivers, running back, and a punter. He's going to tell us why. He's going to tell us also why some position groups weren't addressed or drafted in this National Football League draft. Trey Brown knows of what he speaks. You're going to enjoy it. We appreciate you joining us in the trenches with Dave Lappin once again, brought to you by First Star Logistics, as always, in our beautiful studios. Can't thank First Star Logistics enough for providing us such a nice home to bring you as much information as we possibly can. With that in mind, our special guest, Trey Brown, senior personnel executive with the Cincinnati Bengals. This man was a cornerback at UCLA, was part of the Super Bowl 52 Chicago Bears franchise. He's done a heck of a job for the Cincinnati Bengals, obviously, in the personnel department, scouting. Trey, welcome to the show, man.
Dave, how are you? Glad to be here.
I'm doing pretty well. So, what did you think of the draft overall? I mean, as you sit back and look at it and have a little bit of time to reflect on it, how do you feel like it is as give it an overall grade?
Well, feel pretty good. You know, we're alive and well here, and was a big weekend for the Cincinnati Bengals, and hooday to all the Cincinnati Bengals fans out there. And I think we felt great about what we ended up with coming out of the draft and the work that put in prior to the draft that allowed us to come away with great prospects, in our opinion.
That's the thing. It's your board. You guys put so much time and effort and energy and resources into setting that board. You really do stick to your board, don't you? I mean, you let the and you're in a position with what you've done building the roster overall, the 53-man roster as such, that just let the draft come to you. You didn't have to try to force any issue whatsoever, did you?
Well, no, see, I think that comes with the preparation that we all put in prior to the draft. And the draft works in a mysterious way where there's a lot of guys that you think may or may not be there. And ultimately, you got to put in the work on every prospect and be prepared for anybody that might have the potential to join your team. And I think we did that. We had a good feel for the guys that were obviously in the first round all the way down to the 7th round in the college free agency process. And to your point, in each point of the draft in each round, we felt like we came away with a player that we really wanted and that could also really impact our offense, defense, or even special teams.
No question about it. And while we have a second here as well, just recently signed Trevor Siemian. You know, you had a backup quarterback opening as such, Jake Browning on the roster, Brandon Allen signed with the San Francisco 49ers. You signed Trevor Siemian. What do you think about that move?
Well, we love it. We spent some time with Trevor a couple weeks back, got a chance to bring him into the building and get comfortable with our coaching staff, both Zach and Brian Callahan and pitcher, our quarterback coach, and was able to come in and meet with the group and, you know, meet with us and personnel. And we felt really good about adding him. He has a lot of experience. He's played a lot of football in this league. And anytime you can add to that room, which we feel obviously really good about that room, but anytime you can add with guys with experience that have a high football IQ, very competitive like Trevor is, we thought it was an outstanding fit for our quarterback room.
Take us inside the war room a little bit on draft night, the first round. I asked a question at the presser, and the response was, my question was, when did you think Miles Murphy was going to be there for you at 28? When did you kind of hone in on Miles Murphy? And the answer was about number 20. We're thinking, man, if he's still there, we covet this guy, man. We got to pull the trigger on this. It seemed like it was the wild, wild west. I mean, of the 31 picks in the first round, 14 were selected after some kind of trade, particularly early on in the draft with all the trading that was going on. What was the mindset like in the war room? What was it like in there?
Well, I will say, when you're picking in the back of the first round, number one, it's a great feeling, right? We'd much rather be slotted at 28 than at 3, you know, or in the top 5, right? So when you're in the back of the draft, you don't want to get too high or too low because, you know, it doesn't really matter until you're on the clock, right? So, you know, at 20, 22, 23, you start kind of crunching the numbers and say, hey, there's 5 or 6 guys we really like here. Will they get to us? We're always fielding trade calls and potentials to possibly move up or move back. So you want to be on top of things that way. But we let the board come to us. Miles Murphy was very high on our board going into the process. And when his name start getting closer and closer to us, we were just sitting there like, please be there. Please be there. Obviously, if he's not, we'll be ready to transition to the next guy. But at the same time, if Miles Murphy was going to be there with our first pick, we all would have felt great about having him and adding him to the defensive line room. And if he was there, we felt really good about selecting him with our 28th pick.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, after the draft was over, the word, you know, was given that like 7 different calls about potentially trading, you know, trading back probably more so than anything with Levis being there, you know. At the end of the first round still, as it turned out, he goes right away in the second round, but teams wanted maybe to move into that slot, get him for the 5th year on that rookie contract or whatever, but steadfast, you know, stay right there, and you've targeted your guy, get your guy. All of it's very interesting. There's no question. It's got to be crazy in that war room. The thing about what you guys have done, though, and have been able to do this for a while, your ability to pivot, like you said, you know, if something happens, you can pivot so quickly. It's not trying to turn the Queen Mary out there. You know, you guys are able to make a pivot very, very quickly.
Yeah, you got to be ready. And I think we all do a good job of managing all the things that are thrown at you in the middle of the draft. And that's, you might be sitting there on the clock and a guy that you were high on and you thought would be there with your pick might go right before. And you can't panic. You can't flinch. You got to be ready to, like you said, pivot and ultimately get the best player that fits within our offense of system, our defensive system, or for us and our special teams units.
So that's the thing. I mean, everybody's board is different. Everybody has, you know, runs schematics that players fit differently in terms of what you're looking for, how you're looking for them to perform. You don't want to put a square peg in a round hole kind of thing. So nobody's draft board is the same. And you take a lot of time putting people into the spots where you think you're going to get value based on what you do offensively, defensively, and special teams wise. Let's go to the second round. DJ Turner, taken out of Michigan. All he ran was a 4.26 40. What? I mean, that's a blur, man. That is amazing. And overall, Miles Murphy at 270 pounds runs 4.53. I mean, the first 2 picks in the draft, your team speed just increased big time.
Yeah, I mean, in this league, there's a lot of fast and explosive players. And that is something that obviously translates from college to the NFL very quickly. Big, fast, explosive players tend to show up at our level. And in the first round, you're not going to find many people on planet Earth that are as big and as fast as Miles Murphy. And right. Then you flip the page into the second round, right? And you got a guy who's running in the 4.2s. And Dave, I will say that's a lot faster than you and I can run.
No doubt.
You know, but ultimately, it's not just speed, right? You want to find at the cornerback position, you got to find a guy that can cover. And that's the thing with DJ. He's got a great skill set. Everybody knows about his time speed, but the guy can really match up and cover guys. He's sticky in coverage. He's quick. He's explosive. He's been productive at the college level, and along with his physical gifts and traits, translates to what we believe will be able to match up both inside, both outside, and be able to match up with elite wide receivers at our level.
So, Trey, how big of a factor, or is it just an added bonus, an added plus, that Dax Hill and DJ Turner played together at Michigan?
Well, I think it's a bonus, right? I mean, would it have changed our opinion if DJ was at another school? Probably not, right? I mean, like, you know, but Michigan is a great football program. They do a lot of good things there. They play at a high level. Obviously, the success that they've had over the course of DJ's career has been outstanding. But the combination where you can add a guy that has some familiarity to another teammate or teammates in your locker room is definitely an added plus. I know Dax, you know, those guys were both together in the secondary, and they get an opportunity to be in the secondary with the Cincinnati Bengals. So it's a great opportunity for DJ. It's a great opportunity for us to add a guy like DJ that has that skill set that translates to covering and smothering wide receivers at our level.
You played cornerback position at an extremely high level yourself. If you had to pick a trait, one characteristic, I mean, he's obviously speed, other than the speed factor, what is it about DJ's game that you think will transfer so well in the National Football League?
I think it's the ability to do a lot. And I mean, what I mean by that is when you turn on the tape, this guy, he can press you and run with anybody vertically. He can play off coverage and mirror and match and drive and plant or plant and drive and make a play on the football. He's also very tough and competitive in run support. So there's really nothing that this guy on tape showed that he couldn't do. He's done a lot of things, and that is going to be a very good skill set to be able for him to be able to play fast for us at our level. So we thought it was a great fit for Lou and his defense. He's also a great character kid as well, where he's great off the field. He's highly intelligent. So when you bring in the total package, he really checks off all boxes for us in terms of what we look at for the cornerback position.
Let's move on to Jordan Battle, safety, Alabama. Nick Saban, who is not normally effusive in his praise, overly effusive in his praise about players, could not say enough great things about Jordan Battle. I mean, he basically called him like another assistant coach on the football field. He's that kind of football savvy guy. And when you look at tape, he's the guy that's making sure everybody's where they're supposed to be, it looks like, back there. You know, is that his main forte? Is he so football smart?
Well, I would say that's one of his great attributes that he has. And, you know, for us that have been in football for a long time, we understand that the safety position is almost like the quarterback of the defense. Those guys have a lot on their plate mentally. They have a lot of things that they're asked to do, both in run support and playing in coverage. And Jordan Battle, he's done it all. I mean, you talk about a guy that has played a lot of football in the SEC. He has a lot of experience. You hit the intelligence. He's extremely smart, both on and off the field. And on the field, he makes other players better around him, right? By getting them lined up, right. Getting players into the right spot. But along with that, this guy has great physical attributes as well. I mean, this guy is really good in coverage, very good ball skills, can get off the hash, come down, and a physical tackler, has some substance when he brings people down on contact. We thought this guy was a very well-rounded safety that can play strong safety, free safety, can even play in dime packages if you want him to do that. So that's another guy, you know, when you watch and study these guys over the course of their careers, that this guy can do so many things that helps you play winning football on defense. And we were really lucky to grab Jordan Battle in the third round.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And Nick Saban's defense, his schematic is there's some complexity to it. You know, I think the transition guys that come from Alabama to the National Football League, it's not like a shock. Oh my gosh, they do so much in the NFL. They do quite a bit at Alabama, maybe not quite as much as in the National Football League, but pretty close, I think. And I think that's going to help them as well. In the fourth round, you get a receiver who, man, I really like this kid, watching this kid run routes. I mean, he is an outstanding route runner. Charlie Jones out of Purdue. And I'm sure he got some dialogue in the third round. He's that kind of player. What, when he was there in the fourth round, you guys wasted no time grabbing him, did you?
Hurry up and get the pick in. Let's get our guy, right? So, I mean, you hit it. Huh? I mean, what I like what you said was the route running ability. I mean, we look at so many wide receivers and you hear people say how fast he is, how big they are, how small they are. But, I mean, these guys got to get open and catch the football, right? They got to be able to separate at the top of the route. You know, make a guy go right while they're going left, right? And this is a player that can do that. I mean, this guy is very sudden at the top of his routes. He can separate. He has excellent hands. He's tough. He's physical. So the receiver traits are there. The versatility is a huge value for us as well. This guy can play inside receiver. He can play outside receiver. And he's an outstanding punt returner. So right. When you can get a guy that at the wide receiver position that does a lot of things for your offense and for your team altogether, I mean, it was an outstanding pick. And when we saw his name there, I mean, there was no hesitation by us. He was somebody that we targeted going into the draft. And I always say, when you can target a guy going into the draft and you come out with the guy after the draft, I mean, give yourself a pat on the back. Because that's why we're in this business. You identify the player, but it's not about always identifying in the evaluation if you can't acquire the player, right? And so it's the combination of the two, and that's a good example with Charlie in terms of identifying the guy and then being able to come away with him after the draft.
And getting him in day three, you know, in the later round, later portion of the third of the fourth round, it's just it's phenomenal. And same type of thing, the transition from Alabama, you know, what Saban does defensively to the NFL, what Purdue's doing offensively, spreading the field, the route trees. I mean, he's got like a mini route forest. You know, his route tree is so thorough and so extensive. I mean, I think he transitions very, very fluidly to the National Football League. I like that pick a lot, man. That was outstanding. Staying in the Big Ten. You know, the other thing I like about the picks, okay, Clemson, Michigan, Alabama, all those schools played in the college football playoffs. Purdue played in the Big Ten championship game against Michigan. I mean, so you get guys playing big schools, big conferences, successful in significant games, big crowds, big atmosphere, games not too big for them. That helps transitioning in the NFL too, doesn't it, Trey?
Yeah, I mean, that experience and being in those big moments obviously transition to our level, especially where we are as a team now. I mean, look, we're in a position where we're trying to continue this consistency on playing in the playoffs and deep in the playoffs. And so when these guys that we're evaluating, they've have experience playing in big games as well. That is a big attribute for them coming into what we think is a good program here that we have right now with the Cincinnati Bengals. And it's going to help them when they're in those big moments as well.
So let's move on to the fifth round. Chase Brown, pick number 163 out of Illinois. Size, speed ratio, workhorse. Man, talk about this guy.
Well, when the guy gets the ball in his hands, you talk about an explosive physical runner. This guy has it. This guy has been asked a lot from his team in college, right? He's carried the load for them, and he was really really the focal point for their offense there. And nice. This guy didn't flinch in any moment. He's a big play back. that can really take it the distance anytime he touches the ball. And man, is this guy explosive on contact. When you watch running backs, you like to see guys finish runs. When a linebacker has the angle and there's a collision, we like to see those backs win. And there's so many times on tape when he does, just punishing the tackler and bouncing off of tackles and continue to pick up extra yardage with good balance. This guy has a lot of upside. He's a good back now, and he really is going to fit in well with our current group.
You know, Trey, you hit on a great point. I mean, the finishing runs, you know, and yards after contact and contact balance and all that. He was amongst the league leaders, maybe led the country in runs of 10 to 15 yards. As a former offensive lineman, when you get him going to that second level, he smashes the linebacker, runs over the safety, and it's a 12-yard run. Man, that just jacks you up, man. I mean, everybody's back in the huddle. Yeah, that's the way to get after it. Nice job, Chase. I mean, that just gets everybody so geeked up, and that's what this guy looks like he's all about.
He definitely is. And, you know, you can't talk more – you can't talk enough about the combination with him on the field and then also with the personality, the football character off the field. I mean, this guy is off the charts in terms of how he works, how he approaches things, the mindset, the football IQ. And then when you put that together with somebody that is going to run through somebody on contact, somebody that's going to finish runs when it really matters. I mean, like you said, I'm sitting there watching a tape. I'm, ooh, whoa, you know, you're jumping up and down, getting fired up. You're an offensive lineman. I'm in personnel, right? And we get the same energy when we're watching the tape. So it was outstanding to get him as well and add him to a really good group of backs that we currently have.
Okay, pick number six, the first pick in the sixth round. Andre, I'm going to stay away from the last name. If you want to get that for me, I just don't want to mispronounce that last name. I'm not familiar enough yet. But sixth round, stud athlete out of Princeton, pentathlon champion, set the record, 60-meter record in so doing, pole vaulted 16 feet. I mean, the body control, the athleticism, the strength, the speed. This guy's got a lot of upside, doesn't he?
I mean, he's a world-class athlete, right?
Yeah.
And a world-class athlete with size. And for us, we're not trying to draft athletes. We're trying to find football players that fit into our system, offensive, defensively, and like I said, special teams, right? And this guy, I will say, he's a football player. You know, my first exposure to him was at the Senior Bowl. We had meetings coming out of the fall college season where we sit down, you know, touch on our character and our football evaluation on the players that we saw through the course of the fall. And we had really, really good grades coming out on Andre out of the fall. And we got an opportunity to really see him at the Senior Bowl, right? You know, guys want to say smaller schools. They like to say, what about the competition? Who's he playing against? Well, at the Senior Bowl, this guy really showed out. I mean, he was a tough cover for those defensive backs. He was able to beat guys with speed, athleticism, the route running, which you hit on earlier. He was able to separate. And so when you saw him there, along with his size, the physical attributes, and then what he did at Princeton, right? I mean, he's got to produce on tape to get this, you know, to get this kind of, I guess, a love or this attention from us. And he did that. Right. He was another guy we brought in for one of our top 30 visits to get an opportunity to meet with us and to get him around the coaching staff. And he was outstanding. Every point where he got a chance to be evaluated, he hit it out of the park, which gave us comfort to picking him really anywhere in the draft. And it just so happened that he was available for us in the sixth round. And if we can add a guy with all those physical traits and he has the right mindset and the work ethic to improve, I mean, he was an outstanding pick for us.
No doubt. No question about it. So let's move on to the second pick in the sixth round, which you got for trading back, but just three spots. and still being able to select battle, and then you get that extra six-round pick, and man, you use it on a punter. Brad Robbins out of Michigan, there were three draftable punters, and they all got drafted, like everybody thought, and you Michigan State went, then Michigan goes. Place kicker for Michigan goes in the third round. He was the holder for that young man. I mean, he's a great holder, outstanding punter, and his big thing is that hang time is crazy, isn't it, Trey?
The ball really jumps off his foot, right? We were lucky to be able to grab Brad where we did. Like you said, we were able to move back a couple spots and still get the guy that we wanted to get. And that's a great job of being able to just kind of maneuver and have a good feel for the draft itself. And to be able to come away with Brad there, the ball jumps off his foot. It means a lot to him. He has a lot of upside. And one thing, the key thing you hit on is, you know, part of punters' jobs at our level is to hold, right? And he held for a really good kicker there at Michigan. He has experience doing it. And the last thing you want to do is grab a guy that boots the ball right down the field. And then crunch time, when the game really matters, we got a good kicker here in Cincinnati, and be nervous about holding, maybe holding in the elements if it's right. Raining, if it's wet. This guy has experience doing that. He has the total package as a punter, and he will fit really well into a very competitive special teams group that we have with us right now currently. And we were lucky to be able to move three spots back and still get the guy that we wanted to get.
Yeah, just a great job. And all the guys we've talked about, the speed, you know, they get size to go with the speed. I mean, Darren Simmons has got to be smiling earlobe to earlobe. You know, I mean, his special, the overall team speed of the Cincinnati Bengals has to be rival anybody's, really. And that trickles down to special teams. And boy, got some guys, good sized guys that can run, and excited to see them make contributions. And the final pick, the seventh the round pick, 246th pick of the draft out of Miami, DJ Ivy, is another guy that's got some size to him. He's got speed. I mean, he could be a gunner candidate as well. Obviously, you look at Turner, man, what a gunner that guy might be. It's crazy.
Yeah, so hopefully our guy Darren will have a blast with the group, because yeah. a lot of those guys have those traits that you look for. And DJ Ivy is one of those guys who we selected in the seventh round. This guy was a very productive player at Miami, a very good cornerback for those guys. And this is somebody that we've spent some time on really the last couple of years, you know, with guys being able to go back to school, transfer, hit the transfer portal. You really got to be studying these guys pretty early now to be prepared if they do come out for the draft. So DJ did not come out last year. He came out this year. And we spent a lot of time with him. We went into the school this year during the fall, saw him there. He was having a really good season for the Hurricanes down there in Miami. He's a physical press corner with very long arms and very good strength. He also can play in off coverage as well. When you hit on the special team stuff, this guy has experience playing gunner. And he did a very good job at that. He's big, he's strong, he can run, and he is wired the right way. This was another guy that we brought in, had the opportunity to bring in for a top 30 visit and get a chance to get in front of and spend some time with, and he blew us all away. He had an opportunity to spend some time with the coaching staff. They felt very good about his potential and his ability to fit in within the cornerback room. And to be able to get a guy with those physical traits that you mentioned with the size, but also matches on tape and also has experience on special teams, it's a great seventh round pick, and he's going to have a great opportunity to help us for a long time.
Okay, Trey, I have all kinds of Bengal fans, you know, reaching out after the draft. No tight ends, no offensive tackles. You know, geez, what's going on? Only three picks to the offense, two receivers and a running back. You know, man, what's going on? How do you feel about that? Let me ask you, Trey. I know there were guys that were candidates, but it has to fall right, correct? I mean, take us through the decision not at any point in time in the draft to take a tight end or an offensive tackle.
Well, let me back up a step. So before we had a chance to come and work this draft process, we spent some time during the free agency process, right? Where we did dive into that stuff for a little bit, right? We had an outstanding free agency with ability to grab guys like Orlando Brown, you know, Max Sharping, Cody Ford. So adding guys like that on the offensive line does kind of help you when you approach the draft, right? You know, we felt really good about those additions and a lot of others that we hit in free agency as well. And that really gave us the flexibility we felt to really take the best player, right? And at some point, yeah, you would like to have the opportunity to hit on every position in the draft, but ultimately you got to look at the entire roster and see where everyone fits. And we had an opportunity to add some offensive linemen in free agency that we feel really, really good about. Yep. Along with the tight end position, we were able to add guys like Irv Smith, you know, Mr. Sample, we got back. Was able to be a key addition there that ultimately allowed us to feel pretty good about going into the draft at both the offensive line and tight end position. And to say this, as we go forward, as we get through the seasons, there are other opportunities for us to continue to add competitive guys to our roster. And that's what we constantly do here. Throughout the course of the year. So we won't stop. We'll continue to add the best players that fit what we do here in Cincinnati. And we'll look whether if it's, you know, under the couch, down the street at the local field, or just watching college tape or watching preseason tape as well. We're going to just keep combing everywhere to find the best players for our roster. And the flexibility coming out of free agency, going into the draft, gave us a little bit of comfort with being able to just grab the best player available.
Trey, can't thank you enough. I mean, when I was prepping for the draft, every team I talked to, people that I trust around the league for a number of years, everybody would volunteer this right away. The Bengals roster, first, best in the NFL, 53 men. Second, worst I heard was third in the NFL. So you guys have a great roster. And the NFL draft only added to that, free agency, college free agency. There's still a second period of free agency. Real excited about what the Bengals can bring to the table for 2023. And appreciate you carving the time you carved for us, taking us through the draft, Trey. Outstanding. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your efforts. You are the man.
Thank you so much. Hootay.
Hootay, my man.
Hootay.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team. King.